Bill O'Reilly, and please remember...
Love Talk Radio.
Because we're looking
Are you ready to do something about your high credit card debt? Tired of paying double-digit interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? It's time to stop the madness. Get out of debt the safe and affordable way with Credit Card Relief. With Credit Card Relief, there are no upfront fees, no monthly maintenance fees, and no settlement fees. You don't pay anything until a debt is settled, all with a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's Credit Card Relief. Managed by local attorneys in-state, with workout plans tailored to your debt situation. Get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving thousands in future bank fees. Call the original Credit Card Relief, where the consultation is free and the results are real.
Call 866-290-8282. Not available in all states. That's Credit Card Relief. 866-290-8282. 866-290-8282. 290-8282.
Blog Talk Radio.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. The men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from the sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome. Seems like a quick morning, but here we are. I'd like to welcome you to Dr. C. Robert Jones, Conservative Report. It is Thursday, April the 21st. He shall be back a week. He'll be back on Monday. Tonight, or this morning, I should say, we're going to meet the stars of cable news on cable. The stars of all the media on cable are more like Hollywood glamour actors than journalists who bring you journalism. They have to be sure before they are on the air that their hair is perfect, that their clothes are star status, looking Hollywood and all glamour. What in fact do they inform us of? What about do they really, really tell us? What are they aware and what are they not aware of that's really going on in today's events? Do they bring us the story or do they tell us the story? Are they honest, fair, balanced, or biased in one-sided reports? Who's listening? Who's listening to the idiots of intelligence? So this morning, we are going to review the personalities of cable news, our prime time stars, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Legatus, Rachel Maddow, Anderson Cooper of 360, and Chris Matthews. We're going to play some of their clips. Some are good. I mean, they do bring us to the media. This is not just me bashing them down or beating them down. But we're going to see who tells lies, who does not tell lies, who tells little lies, who simply lies, period. Meet the media stars. Thank you very much. I've already got massive amounts of emails from yesterday's show, so that's really, really nice that people were listening, and we always welcome new people to listen in. It's really exciting when somebody writes you and they're a first-time listener, and they're basically talking about they're mentioning points that you, once your show is complete, they brought up points. Hey, I wish you would have brought this up. Wow, that's actually a good point. But anyway, we're going to jump right into the action. You know, I wish I would have included Rush Limbaugh in that, but Rush is definitely a different breed than those other ones. But anyway, jumping into it, here's the very first clip. It's going to be Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity. Anyway, stand by. Let me put this up. Oh, no, actually, we're going to play the other Sean Hannity when he's complaining about the press, about Barack Obama. And my purpose in playing this is in the news, I'm supposed to get the story. And instead, these are more like individual editorials or opinion pages, which is fine. They're entitled to report what they want. And they are a privately owned company. So they are. And if you don't like it, you know, you can change the channel. So, anyway, let's jump on to Sean Hannity here now that I have the clip all queued up.
Makes mistakes in his life. turn the page. That's my point. I think.
And how will we come? In fact, we'll be closer to the
page. All right. Well. next up is our beautiful princess, Rachel Maddow. Cole, along, he has Keith, he's gonna, Keith Oberman, and Rachel kind of tag team up here. Rachel Maddow, this is MSNBC, which I think most people know.
Being reported. It's basically Sean Hannity here, Keith Oberman here, giving opinions of situations and really not bringing you any type of material, news or information or anything along those lines. It's basically all, you know, I think this, I think that, and there is no real informative news. And when people are watching it, people are on the side of either the host or the guest, and they're basically cheering them on. They're not really saying, where's the news? And it just seems MSNBC is reporting one thing, CNN is reporting another, Fox is reporting another one, and you really don't get too many too much news. If any news being reported, it's extremely disappointing because you don't know who to touch, who to trust. But anyway, there are some times where the media is really brought to you, and we're gonna play right now. Let's see, make sure I have this up here. Yes. Okay, here's actually a chance where Rachel Maddow did report. Listen to this. Not only did she report, she's actually reporting something that she, like, she's very pro-Obama, very pro-liberal. She's actually reporting news here on what President Obama said. She's criticizing it.
But we begin tonight with a tale of two speeches, both from the same man, both from President Obama. One speech that could have been billed as a ballad to the Constitution, a proclamation of American values, a repudiation of the lawless behavior of the last presidential administration, and...
We live all around the country, but the question is, when half the country doesn't pay taxes, when 15% of now...
Another speech. Announcing a radical new claim of presidential power that is not afforded by the Constitution and that has never been attempted in American history, even by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney.
The North with President Obama today made both of those speeches simultaneously, standing inside the National Archives in front of the actual original Constitution. President Obama delivered a blistering critique of the Bush administration, in which he called their actions and their legacy literally a mess.
Our government made a series of hasty decisions, poorly planned, haphazard approach. Too often set those prisoners aside as luxuries that we could no longer afford. Our government made decisions based on fear rather than foresight. The decisions that were made over the last 8 years established an ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable.
I had an opportunity to interview you often, and you said that you would get in. A candidate that was really
an ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable.
Ouch.
Ouch is very right. All right, we'd like to welcome everybody too into the chat room. I see Tesla's there. Hello, Tesla. Everybody loves Tesla. I'm going to jump to a quick break because I gather some. I need to reboot this this modem. Tesla was kind of critical of my music. I guess he didn't care much for my music. Well, anyway, here's something I'm going to play. This is my favorite piece ever. I listen to this as often as I can. Hopefully, everyone will seem to like this a little bit more. But this is something I listen to all the time, and it always gives me shivers. It always gives me energy.
Neither aiming at originality of principle or sentiment, nor yet copied from any particular previous writing, it was intended to be an expression of the American mind, and to give to that expression the proper tone and spirit called for the occasion.
In the very midst of revolution, the most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world.
Every post and every day rolls in upon us independence like a torrent.
Our obligations to our country never cease, but with our lives.
We must all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately.
Why is it we hesitate? For God's sake, let us come to the final separation. The birthday of the new world is at hand.
The tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots and tyrant folk.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another.
And to assume among the powers of the earth
the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them.
A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men
are created equal,
that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights,
that among these are life,
liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness,
that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends,
it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government.
Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form.
As to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Prudence indeed will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes.
And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer,
while evils are sufferable,
than to right themselves
by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpation, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism,
it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security.
Such has been the patient suffering of these colonies.
And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government.
We, therefore, the representatives of
the United States of America,
in General Congress assembled,
appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name
and by authority of the good people of these colonies,
solemnly publish and declare
that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states.
That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown.
And that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved.
And as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war,
conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce,
and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
And for the support of this declaration,
with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence,
we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes,
and our sacred honor.
Why so large, Mr. Hancock?
So that. Well, back we are, and I hope you like that. Tessa, I hope you like that better than the last time I played it. Now we're going to touch on Mr. Bill O'Reilly. You know, my criticisms are not of the individual people. It's some of the things that they report and just how inaccurate they are. And they're lying. You know, a lot of them are half-truths, but half-truths are lies when you're talking on the media. I mean, you have CNN, Fox, MSNBC. They're all reporting from the same site, okay? The same situation happened, yet you're getting three different stories. Rachel Maddow, Keith Olbermann, and Chris Matthews will tell you one thing. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and Greta will tell you another. Anderson Cooper and the other people from CNN, they'll tell you something in between of what the other two said. I mean, what's the truth? I mean, the bottom line is it's almost not. But these cable outlets are more opinion pages. They more or less are basically electronic. They are news organizations from a corporate standpoint. But they really don't give you any type of nothing of significant news. It's just more opinion this and opinion that. And, I mean, it just... Really, they more or less cater to your cheerleading section. Because if you watch Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly, you're there to cheer them on, not really get informed of information. Same thing if you watch MSNBC. I think the truth lies with each individual seeking and going out and getting the truth and getting the story. Programming note for tomorrow, the show is going to be same time, but it's going to be an hour. It's going to be on the abuses of the Patriot Act, where we have news stories that have taken place within the last year, et cetera, et cetera. Also, the show is that we had on, I think it was Tuesday, where we talked about the fair tax. A lot of people wanted to know if I was bringing that guest back. Well, we hope to. Dr. Jones will be back on Monday. I'm kind of unsure exactly where I'll be. I will be somewhere. I mean, I'm not going to disappear. My plan is to, effective Monday, just take a couple days to think some things over. I have, I know that you know, Perry's interested in having me back, and I have a couple of invitations from some other people to do some other things, but that's really irrelevant. I just need to kind of get into focus and kind of put my priorities in perspective and see what we want to do. But anyway, back to the topic. Socialism is not an option, as Tesla shows. Well, it seems like these TV shows are pushing for socialism. Where is it that we can't criticize the president, you know, on certain stations? Where is it we do nothing but criticize the president on other stations? I mean, just over and over and over. It's almost like each station is fiddling the tune that their advertisers want to dance to. All right, we're going to... listen to the open introduction of the O'Reilly Factor. Then, Senator Fritz Holland. I'm not sure how many of you know him. Many of you probably weren't around really, were very young when he was elected, but he was elected for a long time. He was a Democrat out of the South who was a very conservative. And I'm going to play a piece on there. And then we're going to hear from Calvin Coolidge, who... according to Loki, probably the most conservative president we've had of the 1900s, and listening to him and reading on him, it appears so. So give a listen here. Give it a second. I have so many pop-ups right here, so many browsers up that it's a little slow. You know, right? I can actually introduce quicker than this thing. That's obviously not working. Oh well. I have what I wanted to do is I wanted to play like about three different pieces, and I wanted to basically in Windows Media Player because I don't want to really jam up Dr. Jones's his files. But anyway, hang on a second. I think we might have it now. So. We do or we don't. Hang on. All right. What I'm just gonna do is I'm just gonna jump to the piece of President Calvin Coolidge. Listen to this.
In the American Constitution.
Okay.
I favor the American system of individual enterprise, and I am opposed to any general extension of government ownership and control. I believe not only in advocating economy and public expenditure, but in its practical application and actual accomplishment. I believe in any reduction and reform of taxation, and shall continue my efforts in that direction. I am in favor of protection. I believe in the famine of God and further limitation of armaments. I am opposed to aggressive war. I shall avoid involving ourselves in the political controversies of Europe, but I shall do what I can to encourage American citizens and resources to assist in restoring Europe with the sympathetic support of our government. I want agriculture and industry on a sound basis of prosperity and equality. I shall continue to strive for the economic, moral, and spiritual welfare of my country. The laws of the land are being and will continue to be enforced.
We're here at the South Carolina Book Festival talking with former Senator Ernest Fritz Hollings about his book, Making Government Work. Senator, do you think government is working, and if it isn't working, what do you think is wrong?
Well, it's broken down into partisan re-election teams. The Congress is more interested in re-election than they are in the peace of the country. And I know it because I've been up there for 38 years, and money has gotten to be worse and worse. In other words, my last campaign, I was elected for the seventh time to the United States Senate in 1998, 10 years ago. And come on, I had to raise $8.5 million. It was $30,000 a week, each week.
Anyway, I have to actually jump out of that piece because, my friends, the show is winding down. I have to actually get to work as well, so...
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here to save the planet Earth. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set.
Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong.
Yes, we can.
Obama's health care plan will include college and bar essential medical service.
Yes, we can.
Obama is a cruel hoax. He works for Wall Street. He's an agent of finance capital.
Where did you come up with the number $700 billion? Here's the Treasury spokeswoman's quote. It's not based on any particular data point. We just really wanted to come up with a really big number.
The Democrats and Republicans who've opposed this plan, I say, step up to the plate.
A few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
Secretary Henry Paulson is no George Washington.
I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashkari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for.
Obama pledged that he would resume the security and prosperity partnership talks between Mexico and Canada that President Bush initiated.
The old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
Robert Gates is going to remain on the job as defense secretary for at least a year.
Plenty of sources knew about this meeting, told us and others that it was at Hillary Clinton's house, but clearly it wasn't.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
We see you causing a depression so you can blow out the economy and consolidate it and bankrupt it. We know that you are enemies of free humanity, and we are here standing against your tyranny!
The Obama deception. The truth strikes back.
Barack is like the manager of Burger King. All presidents are, including Bush. It's like this. When your fries are cold, if your burger is not done right, you go back to Burger King, America, or your government, and you say, my burger's cold. I want new fries. First, you go to the cashier. That's the court. You argue to the courts. The courts, if you can't get no justice with the cashier, you say, let me see the manager. I want to go to the Supreme Court. I want to see the president. The manager comes out. Hi, what can I do for you? Now, the manager can override the decisions of the cashier. But you never get to see the franchise owner of Burger King. If you really have a problem with your burger, you need to go see the franchise owner. We need to go to the top or to the bottom. We need to go to where the real architecture of government is. And it's not in a president. It's in a global scheme.
Politics in America today is identical to pro wrestling. And what I mean by that is, in front of the cameras and the public, we all hate each other. I'm going to kick my opponent's butt. I'm going to whale him from here to high water and beat the crap out of him. Yet behind the scenes, we all have friends going out to dinner.
Went to dinner together.
And it's all a work.
All intermarried.
Showbiz.
It's showbiz. And that's what you have today in politics. The Democrats and Republicans aren't really opposed to each other.
Left and right mean nothing. The only thing that counts is, are you working for Wall Street or are you trying to defend the people against the financiers?
It's pretty obvious that there's some gigantic financial institutions that have been pulling the strings of politicians in this country for a long time. And just the fact that we have it set up where they can donate millions of dollars to these guys' funds, these guys' campaigns. I mean, how do we not expect it all to go bad?
America in 2009 was desperate for change. The past 8 years had been a disaster.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere. Maybe under here.
George W. Bush, who had claimed to be a conservative, had tripled the size of the federal government, shredded the Constitution, and destroyed the image of the United States worldwide.
Nope, no weapons over there.
Endless wars, over 1 million dead Iraqis, and more than 5,000 dead U.S. troops. The Patriot Act. Warrantless domestic wiretapping and spying. The end of Posse Comitatus. The rise of the treasonous North American Union. A deepening recession, sliding towards total economic collapse. These factors and other abuses have the American people in a state of panic for their future and the very existence of the United States. The elite were in trouble. The people were beginning to see through their facade, past their front man, and to the ruling elite behind the throne. For the first time in U.S. history, both parties were universally hated. Congress had a 9% approval rating. The globalist agenda had stalled. And then, onto the scene came a man who promised change. Change we could all believe in. Barack H. Obama promised to end the war and bring our troops home fast. He pledged to uphold the Constitution and to stop the federal government from spying on the American people. Candidate Obama told American workers that he was going to get them out of NAFTA and GATT. And he's already breaking those promises. In this film, we will prove that Obama says one thing and does another, and that he works for the very same elite interest that Bush served, the very interest engineering the financial collapse and formation of a dictatorial world government. This film is not about left or right. It is nonpartisan. Our past documentary films are among some of the most damning indictments of George W. Bush and his administration that have ever been made. If humanity has any hope of effecting real change for the better, it will not come from the Madison Avenue false reality makers who have cast Barack Obama as the savior of the world. To alter our course from tyranny to liberty, to defeat the corrupt elite, we must get past the puppets and confront the real power structure of the planet.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
Webster Griffin Tarpley is an accomplished geopolitical analyst and historian. Among his scholarly works are the unauthorized biographies of George Herbert Walker Bush and Barack Hussein Obama.
Since Bush the Elder made his speech at the United Nations back in September of 1990 talking about the New World Order, I think I've become confused about what's actually going on in the world. The New World Order is a more palatable name for the Anglo-American world empire. It's the planetary domination of London, New York, Washington, over the rest of the world. It's hard to get people to join that or think they have a part in it if you call it the Anglo-American world empire. If you call it the New World Order, then people in India or someplace like that or the European Union might think, well, there's something in that for us too. But that's not what it is. It's the Anglo-American New World Order. It's really the old world order. It's the British Empire morphing into the American Empire. The U.S.-British world empire is what you're going to get.
Combines of powerful men have always battled with each other over the levers of power. Gerald Celente is recognized as one of the world's foremost trends forecasters and as the founder of the Trends Research Institute.
People that are knowledgeable know that the fight that this country has been waging since its inception is for the central bankers not to take over the country. And that's why people like Andrew Jackson were elected. And that's why people revere people like Thomas Jefferson and others. The takeover has happened, and it's a corporate takeover.
Agents of the Bank of England attempted to assassinate President Andrew Jackson on multiple occasions because of his resistance against a private central bank being set up in the United States.
And it was something that Abraham Lincoln warned. And this is, by the way, why I believe he was assassinated. This is the Lincoln quote. The money powers prey upon the nation in times of peace and conspire against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. Wall Street has killed Main Street.
So I know how unpopular it is to be seen as helping banks right now, especially when everyone is suffering in part from their bad decisions. I promise you, I get it.
Up until about the Kennedy assassination and the beginning of the war in Vietnam, the United States is a very powerful engine for world progress. It's the assassinations, the Kennedy assassination, and the others in the 1960s, the beginning of the Vietnam War, and the beginning of the absolute domination of the Wall Street group over every other interest. Nobody else counts except the Wall Street money masters. That has now made the United States into no longer a force for progress, but something very different, often a force for destruction in the world.
The military-industrial complex has taken over the country along with the Wall Street gang.
If you look also at the people that Obama has put on his appointments list, it's all Wall Street. It's government of Wall Street, by Wall Street, and for Wall Street. There's nobody from heavy industry. There's nobody from the auto sector. Nobody from Silicon Valley, nobody from big oil, nobody from defense, no labor, no women, no retirees, no small business, nothing. It's pure Wall Street. The only people who have a voice in Obama's councils are Wall Street finance oligarchs. That's all there is. Nobody else counts for anything under Obama. It's the most extreme Wall Street administration we've ever had.
Before his death, President Woodrow Wilson apologized to the public, regretting that he had been deceived by a group of international bankers and the country's financial system had fallen into their iron grip via the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, he warned the people that the military-industrial complex was taking over the country.
Only 3 years after leaving office, President Eisenhower's prophetic warning concerning the threat posed to our system of government by the military-industrial complex came to pass. President John F. Kennedy had enraged the entire elite network.
Now, Kennedy was brought in as somebody who was expected to be a puppet. It was thought that his pro-Nazi father, Joseph P. Kennedy, the bootlegger, the speculator, would guarantee that Kennedy would be obedient to the establishment. They thought that Kennedy was a sex maniac who could be manipulated through all of this, but it turned out that through his personal suffering, Kennedy had discovered a personal sense of himself which went beyond just being a puppet, and he began to think about things like economic recovery, world peace, having a space program, making deals with the Soviets, cutting the Federal Reserve down to size, and a whole series of other things.
Executive Order number 11110, signed by President Kennedy, began the process of abolishing the private Federal Reserve. Kennedy was also pushing for real civil rights reform and had begun the process of pulling the troops out of Vietnam.
The last time you had an actual president was Kennedy.
The oligarchs took swift and decisive action. When John Kennedy attempted to take the government back from the robber barons, he was brutally murdered. The message to future U.S. presidents and leaders across the world was clear. Do as you're...
I think one can argue he's been successful. Yep. He got his budget passed. He got his stimulus. He got his bailouts passed.
Yep.
He got his Obamacare passed. So he's been successful.
The problem has been he has not been working on the right problems for the people. He didn't surround himself with the right people. The five people that gave him his economic plan, four of them are gone, and Timothy Geithner is just barely in there. So he didn't pick the right people to get the right advice. They thought that they could stem this country to prosperity. Every family in America knew that that wouldn't work. Now, that was the problem. Yeah. I was asking Governor Palin earlier and Mike Huckabee, you watch what's happening in Europe. They tried this socialist experiment. Right.
They tried, the cradle to grave society. It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Justice to mercy. You have sacrificed independence to unity. You have sacrificed reason to faith. You have sacrificed wealth to need. You have sacrificed self-esteem to self-denial. You have sacrificed happiness to duty. You have destroyed all that which you held to be evil and achieved all that which you held to be good. Why then do you shrink in horror from the sight of the world around you? That world is not the product of your sins. It is the product and the image of your virtues. It is your moral ideal brought into reality in its full and final perfection. You have fought for it. You have dreamed of it. You have wished it. And I am the man who has granted you your wish. Your ideal had an implacable enemy, which your code of morality was designed to destroy. I have withdrawn that enemy. I have taken it out of your way and out of your reach. I have removed the source of all those evils you were sacrificing one by one. I have ended your battle. I have stopped your motive. I have deprived your world of man's mind. Men do not live by the mind, you say. I have withdrawn those who do. The mind is impotent, you say. I have withdrawn those whose mind isn't. There are values higher than the mind, you say. I have withdrawn those for whom there are. While you were dragging to your sacrificial altars the men of justice, of independence, of reason, of wealth, of self-esteem, I beat you to it. I reached them first. I told them the nature of the game you were playing and the nature of that moral code of yours, which they had been too innocently generous to grasp. I showed them the way to live by another morality, mine. It is mine that they chose to follow. All the men who have vanished, the men you hated, yet dreaded to lose, it is I who have taken them away from you. Do not attempt to find us. We do not choose to be found. Do not cry that it is our duty to serve you. We do not recognize such duty. Do not cry that you need us. We do not consider need a claim. Do not cry that you own us. You don't. Do not beg us to return. We are on strike. We, the men of the mob. We are on strike against self-immolation. We are on strike against the creed of unearned rewards and unrewarded duties. We are on strike against the dogma that the pursuit of one's happiness is evil. We are on strike against the doctrine that life is guilt. There is a difference between our strike and all those you've practiced for centuries. Our strike consists not of making demands, but of granting. We are evil, according to your morality. We have chosen not to harm you any longer. We are useless, according to your economics. We have chosen not to exploit you any longer. We are dangerous and to be shackled according to your politics. We have chosen not to endanger you, nor to wear the shackles any longer. We are only an illusion according to your philosophy. We have chosen not to blind you any longer and have left you free to face reality, the reality you wanted, the world as you see it now, a world without mind. We have granted you everything you demanded of us, we who had always been the givers, but have only now understood it. We have no demands to present to you. No terms to bargain about, no compromise to reach. You have nothing to offer us. We do not need you. Are you now crying, no, this was not what you wanted? A mindless world of ruins was not your goal? You did not want us to leave you? You moral cannibals. I know that you've always known what it was that you wanted, but your game is up, because now we know it too. Through centuries of scourges and disasters, brought about by your code of morality, you have cried that your code had been broken, that the scourges were punishment for breaking, that men were too weak and too selfish to spill all the blood it required. You damned man. You damned existence. You damned this earth that never dared to question your code. Your victims took the blame and struggled on, with your curses as reward for their martyrdom, while you went on crying that your code was noble, but human nature was not good enough to practice it. And no one rose to ask the question, good? By what standard? You wanted to know John Galt's identity. I am the man who has asked that question. Yes, this is an age of moral crisis. Yes, you are bearing punishment for your evil. But it is not man who is now on trial. And it is not human nature that will take the blame. It is your moral code that's through this time. Your moral code has reached its climax. The blind alley at the end of its course. And if you wish to go on living, what you now need is not to return to morality, you who have never known any, but to discover it. You have heard no concepts of morality but the mystical or the social. You have been taught that morality is a code of behavior imposed on you by whim, the whim of a supernatural power, or the whim of society, to serve God's purpose or your neighbor's welfare, to please an authority beyond the grave or else next door, but not to serve your life or pleasure. Your pleasure, you have been taught, is to be found in immorality. Your interests would best be served by evil, and any moral code must be designed not for you, but against you, not to further your life, but to drain. For centuries, the battle of morality was fought between those who claimed that your life belongs to God and those who claimed that it belongs to your neighbors, between those who preached that the good is self-sacrifice for the sake of ghosts in heaven, and those who preached that the good is self-sacrifice for the sake of incompetence on earth. And no one came to say that your life belongs to you, and that the good is to live it. Both sides agreed that morality demands the surrender of your self-interest and of your mind, that the moral and the practical are opposites, that morality is not the province of reason, but the province of faith and force. Both sides agree that no rational morality is possible, that there is no right or wrong in reason, that in reason there's no reason to be moral. Whatever else they fought about, it was against man's mind that all your moralists have stood united. It was man's mind that all their schemes and systems were intended to despoil and destroy. Now, choose to perish, or to learn that the anti-mind is the anti-life. Man's mind is his basic tool of survival. Life is given to him, survival is not. His body is given to him, its sustenance is not.
That is correct. The first train on the John Galt line will run July 22nd.
Great news. Thank you, Dagny.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dagny, this is Mr. Brady, a delegate from the Union of Locomotive Engineers.
You're busy. I'll be brief. We're not going to allow you to run that train on the John Galt line.
Get out of here. You do not come into my office and tell me what you will or will not allow
me to do. What I meant to say was that a committee has decided that allowing men to run your train on that untested metal would violate their human rights.
Are you serious, Mr. Brady?
You can't force men to go out and get killed just for profit.
Put that in writing. That you want to stop your men from working and earning a wage.
Miss Taggart, you don't understand.
Oh, no, I understand perfectly. You want me to provide the jobs, and you want to make it impossible for me to have any jobs to provide. You can do whatever you want with your men, Mr. Brady, but that train will run if I have to drive the damn thing myself because, Mr. Brady, if that bridge collapses, there won't be any railroad left in existence. But if it does not collapse, no member of your union will ever get a job on the John Galt line. Now, are you going to forbid your men to run that train?
I never used the word forbid. I'm only stating that you cannot force anyone to take that run.
I would never force a man to do anything. I'll ask for volunteers. Then it will be my problem, not yours.
I advise them to refuse.
Do what you want, Mr. Brady. But leave them a choice.
Lights, camera, action. You've been enjoying yourself. But now, it's time to make them love you again. You're cool, calm, collected. You've always gotten what you wanted. But was it ever what we wanted? We need jobs. We need leadership. Yet you do nothing as we pile up debts we can't afford. It's like you don't even get it.
And I'm one of your middle-class Americans. And quite frankly, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted of defending you, defending your administration, defending the mantle of change that I voted for.
We hope. And you hope.
My hope is.
But hope isn't hiring.
Why is Ayn Rand's great novel Atlas Shrugged a bestseller today, more than half a century after it was written? It's because our real world today is just like the fictional future that Rand foresaw in Atlas Shrugged. It's a time of crisis and decay, but it's also a world of innovation and achievement. It's a world of heroes and villains, driven by very different philosophies. We wrote I Am John Galt to tell their stories. We look at the heroic innovators who are building our world and show that they're doing it just like the heroes of Ayn Rand's novels. They're using her philosophy of capitalism, reason, objective reality, and self-interest. Who is John Galt? Meet John Allison, the mild-mannered Southerner who created one of America's greatest banking empires. He did it with Ayn Rand's philosophy by getting every one of his tens of thousands of employees to read Atlas Shrugged and live by its code. In the great financial crisis of 2008, his bank was about the only one that didn't need a government bailout. But the government forced Allison to take TARP money anyway. After that, Allison walked away, just like John Galt did. There's so many other Rand heroes in our midst. There's Bill Gates, the genius who built the world's greatest company and the world's greatest personal fortune, only to have his own government call him a criminal for succeeding too much. Isn't he just like Hank Reardon from Atlas Shrugged? And how about Steve Jobs, the brilliant entrepreneur who reinvented computers, movies, music, telephones, just because he thought it was so cool? He's got the same attitude toward life as Howard Roark from Rand's other great novel, The Fountainhead. Build it, and I don't care if they come. You'll meet some real-life Rand villains in our book, too, the parasites who are trying to destroy the world. Remember Wesley Mooch from Atlas Shrugged, the corrupt bureaucrat who destroyed the economy? That's Congressman Barney Frank, who spent years subsidizing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the name of altruism. When Fannie and Freddie nearly wrecked the U.S. housing market, what did Frank do? Just like Mooch, he demanded wider powers. And you'll meet Paul Krugman, the rabid partisan pundit who spread socialism from the pages of the New York Times and thinks nothing of using the power of the press to destroy his political enemies. He's Ellsworth Toohey, the scheming, dwarfish newspaper columnist straight from the pages of The Fountainhead. These are some of the heroes and villains who move our world. So who is John Galt? I am. You can be too. Read our book and find out how.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Fail policy after fail policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Fail policy after fail policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomas Paines, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you had the red carpet club partying and drinking? The USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. His plan all along. And you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise. Let it drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheet clothing, we know that you're just a woke.
All
right.
All over the world, Obama keep bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by a creator, no apology. Rule more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who proved he'd rather be
playing a golf game. Then take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just fed on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone? With no guts, you lost our trust. You ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home. It shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up. Tell me, can you hear? We all right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy. Gotta save the republic. We're not a democracy. All right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy. God save the republic. We're not a democracy. All right.
For Barack is soon to set sail. Vote for O is just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break than any light rail. Uphold it, you can stick to his word from his campaign trail. His issue with integrity, it's his very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, all right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy. Gotta save the republic. We're not a democracy, all right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy. God save the republic. We're not a democracy, all right.